If you're a physician who wants more autonomy in how you practice or fulfillment in your life, you're in the right place. This is the Change Physician Podcast, where our guests reveal how you can learn the mindsets, skills, and strategies to create the life you want without selling out your morals or values. But before we begin, I want to remind you of the free book giveaways, guides, and other physician resources available to you at thechangephysician.com. I think we are live. All right. Welcome back to Friday Phase with the Change Physician. If you're watching on the Challenge Doctor page, I'm just cross-posting from the Change Physician community and podcast. And I'm joined by my co-host, not to be mistaken as, I don't know what I said before, my guest or something last time.
I don't know what you did last time.
But. It was obviously wrong. So we'll go ahead and dive into today's Friday phase. But of course, we always like to review what's happened the week before.
Oh, I forgot to pull that up. Do you have that?
I have it. So I will jump on it. And awesome. This past week, we had Dr. Ali Abdal, who is a UK physician, YouTuber, podcaster, has done an amazing job over the years of accumulating over 1 million followers just on YouTube, not to mention everything else, and really gives great insight into why it's really important for physicians to get on social media. And there's all kinds of other things we've discussed, even the differences between, you know, the UK training versus the US training. There's so many trailers I have to release on that particular episode. They will be coming, but I released one of them on Instagram. If you haven't seen us on Instagram, we have usually some occasional quotes, but many little nugget trailers, so to speak, of our actual episode. So it'll give you a little sneak peek into what those topics are about. Our other guest is a returning guest, Dr. Caleb Rudden, who is an osteopathic physician who's a sports medicine physician. He goes by hashtag Doc Thor because he does kind of look like Thor. And that would be, I'm blanking on the actor's name. Cannot remember.
Chris Hemsworth. Because there's like Liam Hemsworth and there's
it's gotta be Chris. Okay. But I'm revealing my lack of exceptional knowledge in the movies world. But so getting fit as a physician, he's probably a good role model, or at least gives you some great insight into how to become fit and a real practical outlook on, you know, the benefits of just even some basic health regimens or hygiene for yourself and remaining flexible and strong and the various things that are really going to become important as we get older. So check out that episode. Those were episodes 42 and 43. And as for Friday faves, what is your fave for the week?
Fave for the week. It was an interesting week. And I had some, you know, I always have these things that pop up. I remember this and then I don't remember it. But today I'm going to actually say that my favorite for the week is a podcast. And it's one called The Hidden Brain Podcast on NPR, or published by NPR. And I've listened to it in the past, and then they have like seasons. So then they stop for a while. And, you know, one of the things with the whole pandemic has been harder for me to listen to podcasts because, I don't know, I like to do podcasts when I'm either in the car or I'm driving somewhere, or depending on what your workout is. And, you know, certain workouts are more amenable to podcasts than other ones. So for whatever reason, time has been more amenable to podcasts and I've been listening to it, and it's just really, really good. And what I like about it is the guy obviously has interesting questions. There's a lot of curiosity involved. And then it's just, I love it when people actually explore the questions rather than just kind of make stuff up. And what I mean by that, he pulls on scientists that have actually done research to challenge a lot of these assumptions that we have. That's why it's kind of called the, you know, the hidden brain. And, you know, some of it's kind of shocking. And the more you kind of learn about how the brain works and how we process information, the more you start questioning things. And I think particularly in this day and age, it's important to understand that what you think is rational, we are totally not rational. What you believe to be true may not be true. You should test it. And it was really good. In the episode in particular today that I was listening to just before I got on to this, our little thing, was one with Peter Singer, who is a philosopher. And he has some really interesting arguments on what makes an interesting take on the ends justify the means kind of thing. And he is actually, you know, it kind of fits our world where people just immediately react and they don't listen and oh, he must be wrong, because then those things he says are really, really challenging. But when you listen to, you know, how he came to those decisions and sort of the interplay there and sort of the depth, there's some really good points, like and some really challenging ethical dilemmas that come out that really kind of made me think. And I obviously enjoyed it. That's my favorite thing. The Hidden Brain podcast on NPR. And I highly recommend, if you have any interest in like psychology, how the brain works, you know, why we navigate the world that we do in, and you're willing to challenge your inherent biases that we all have, I would definitely recommend that. So that's my fave.
Very nice. I put the link for NPR for the Hidden Brain in there. And I'm not surprised, Kevin, that you like things that make you think, because you're a guy who thinks and likes to think about thinking. So
yeah, I guess that's true. That's true.
You like to ponder those things, and not that I'm not you know, a little bit of a nerd myself and liking to be able to kind of let the emotions slide by and really give it a chance to soak in and realize, oh, well, that's an interesting perspective. So yeah
well, I wasn't always like that, I don't think. I mean, I was a thinker, but I don't think I wasn't as involved in trying to understand how we make decisions and how we process information until probably 10 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago. And, you know, you have a challenging moment. And I think we've talked about that. It's really when you are confronting the difference between what you're doing and what the data says. And that significant dissonance, like cognitive dissonance, when you actually go through something that really hits the core of who you are, and you have to make that decision: am I going to continue to do these actions, or am I going to change what I do, what I say, how I act to kind of to adjust to the data? That fundamentally changed me. It completely changed how I perceive information and how much I trust my own beliefs, which don't trust your beliefs. Like, you appreciate your belief systems, but if you're not willing to question them and you're not willing to tease them and like be able to touch them and watch them flex a little bit. Anyway, it was life-changing for me. And since then, I think that moment in time really has significantly influenced how I kind of navigate the world.
So would you say that it's more about beliefs that, you know, thinking like this has helped you, or is it, you know, an element of the emotions getting the best of you and not really understanding them at the time and have better reflection on them now?
I think it increases psychological flexibility. Right? And that's a term that comes up in things like acceptance and commitment therapy quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And psychological rigidity, when you're like, your beliefs are your beliefs, and that's just how it is. Like, belief is fact. There are some benefits to that in kind of weird ways. Like, particularly if you're standing on the other side, there are actually some benefits there. But for long-term sort of adjusted and sort of dealing with the world, being more flexible and being able to see both sides. Now, it seems kind of weird, because I can sometimes be very vocal, and I have been vocal on my personal Facebook page with a number of things that have happened over the last couple of weeks. People may think I'm completely irrational about that. But even when I'm posting those things that have like a huge emotional impact, like this is a big deal emotionally to me, there's a little piece that's always sitting in the background that's kind of watching. And, you know, people have the angels on their shoulders, whatever. I have one that's kind of saying, well, you know, just be careful what you're saying, what you're doing, and make sure you have the facts and data to kind of support that stuff. So, it kind of leads into a quote that, I don't remember if I brought this up a couple times ago, but there's this quote then from Atul Gawande's book, Checklist, I think, that was like, sometimes wrong, never in doubt. It's like the surgeon's manifesto, that because you have to act with this confidence, you have to act and you have to just, you are always correct, right? When you're in the middle of an operation, is not the time to get doubt in there. But that is the time and place for that. But for the rest of your life, the one I particularly like, it came from a guy named Bill Bonner, was sometimes right, sometimes wrong, always in doubt. And that's just, you know, knowing that some things seem to be right sometimes, and they may be wrong sometimes, but you don't really know, right? There's always sort of the shadow of doubt. There's always a layer of uncertainty in there.
I'm making some notes.
Some notes.
You made me think. Okay, oh. So you're about to reflect back on that. I think I need to read that book because I have it in my shelf. It's just one of many books I haven't even read yet, but I know that it's gonna be good. I've heard a lot of great reviews on Atul.
Book.
I mean, he's got books. And I just ordered two other books that are gonna sell on my shelf.
Well, he's a good thinker. You know, that's what I appreciate. Is he's asking challenging questions. And the whole thing about the Checklist Manifesto, people were riled up by that, like, and particularly physicians. How dare you assume that we need an algorithm for this stuff?
Yeah.
Well, and there's a visceral reaction, because I think when we were in training, we were doing the whole hand washing thing and people watching you, and you had the people, the clipboard commandos, you know, monitoring you and all this stuff, right? Or when you're putting in a central line and, you know, are you following a procedure on this? Well, and the reason that they're doing that stuff though is to make sure that we're doing things in a sequential fashion, and we're hitting all the steps. And I think it was probably easier for us as anesthesiologists to adopt that than other specialties because of the safety orientation of anesthesia.
Right.
You know, we had learned, and I think one of the, you know, kind of the godfathers of anesthesia, the anesthesiologists of old, the one of the great things that they had was this focus on safety and being willing to question those assumptions, and maybe I'm not as good as I am.
Right.
So let's follow the data rather than our belief systems. And so anesthesia, out of all the medical specialties that you're looking at, we have had the best outcomes when it comes to safety, like the biggest ramifications over the last 50 years and changes in how we practice as compared to any other specialty out there. And it's, you know, and you think, oh, what other professions do checklists? Well, pilots do checklists. Mm-hmm. When you have something that's on, that it has such a huge impact on human lives, mm-hmm. it makes sense to follow algorithms. Now, are you a slave to algorithm? No. But you should have a process. You should be willing to kind of follow that. And if you deviate from the algorithm, you better have a good reason.
Yeah. You got all these lives up in the air.
Well, yeah. And we don't do that in medicine in general. I mean, that is not the typical way that practice is conducted.
Yeah. You know, it's in the anesthesia world, there's definitely, you know, a lot of the things that we do from a safety standpoint, there's so much of what we do in our head that people on the outside don't know just because it's not their realm. It's interesting because this week I just had one of the surgeons I work with all the time. We had this conversation about antibiotics and some side effects that someone had over extended antibiotic exposure. And there was a question as to whether or not we really needed the antibiotics. And we had a discussion on, well, what does evidence say? And yet, you know, there's that part, you know, I need to go and see what new data has come out and to compare that. But, you know, we know that there's plenty of people that can go without the antibiotics and do just fine. But the problem is if you get on the stand and you had something happen and that's considered standard of care, then you're putting yourself, you know, on the line there. What were we going to say?
Here's the problem. We know there's plenty of people that wouldn't need the antibiotics and would do fine. Mm-hmm. We don't know who they are.
Right.
That's the reason that we have that, right? So it's and I guess that moves into the COVID era. It's like, we know plenty of people who would be fine without wearing a face mask.
Yeah.
We just don't know who they are. So right. if you don't, you need to follow a procedure in order to kind of prevent bad things from occurring.
Yeah. So I just found out one of our friends has, not someone that lives near us, but someone that we dearly care about. I will not say her name, has COVID, and, I'm wishing well, but there's a lot of uncertainties in places, and the reason we have research is because we don't know everything, and the reason we have standards of care is because we're trying to, you know, risk mitigate and try to get optimal results or performance or whatever the case may be. But there was something else about that that I wanted to bring up. I can't think of it. Well, I'll tell you one of my little Friday faves, and you're gonna laugh at me because now I'm at 46 years old and I need one of these. So I'm really digging these readers. I didn't realize, okay, people, don't take a screenshot. This is pretty embarrassing, but got myself a little set of readers, and I can actually realize that it's not my phone that has problems focusing. It's me. So like, what is wrong with my focus on my phone? Anyway, so that was one of my favorite things.
To see again.
Yeah, yes. See again. Up close and personal.
There you go.
I'll just add the gray hair to the, you know, nice readers. But so that's one of them. And I'm doing a little bit of, I was discovering that there is a door that I'm trying to get a little bit of work on my back door done. I'm thinking of having one that has blinds in between the panes of glass where it won't accumulate any type of dust. I'm curious if anyone out there has any particular, you know, opinion of that before I consider that, but it looks pretty damn cool. So I'm considering it one of my little Friday faves, because I'm excited to maybe consider that as my back door so I can see out into the back patio area. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. I know those seem really basic, you know, consumer favorites.
Well, no, they're small things that can have a long-term impact. You know, awareness, right? It comes up every time. Awareness, right. awareness.
And this is only a 1.25. Just, it's not the highest.
No, you don't. It's not a 2.5. My eyes aren't that bad.
They're not that bad. Actually, I probably need like a 1, but the smallest head was like a 1.25. But
yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a 1. I have seen 1.25s, 1.5s, 2.2s. I probably should wear something, but I forgot about it. I used to wear glasses. Like I didn't, when I started residency, I will never forget, I was doing intubation. And Dr. Ellis was like, "What the hell are you doing?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" You know, it's like, "You're squinting." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you wear glasses?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, I had some glasses at some point." He's like, "Go get, you know, bigger your glasses." So I started wearing glasses. And then I always wore my glasses. And then I got LASIK when I was in the military.
Yeah.
After I deployed. Both. And that was great. But I need to have my eyes checked.
Presbyopia? Is it just coming up close?
Yeah, I don't know. It's everything, I think. Everything. It's, yeah, we'll see. But I don't know. Right. Pandemic. I'm not going to go in.
Yeah. Well, I know we're going to make this a short one today. You want to tell people what's coming next week?
You know, I would.
You want me to do it? You want me to do all of it?
No, I'll do it. I feel, otherwise, you know. And you yell at me.
I'll rub it in your face.
And you're mean to me. She's very abusive, people. She's the mean one. If you're looking good cop, bad cop, I'm the good guy and she's the bad guy. We got some good episodes next week, though.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things to remember, guys. Tomorrow, this next coming week is Thanksgiving. And realistically, everybody, we should be having small Thanksgivings. I'm hoping that we're all doing that. It's a chance. Like, I will tell from a personal standpoint, this is a big deal. This will be the first time in like 15 years, 15 years that we have not, that we're not holding Thanksgiving. So that's a big deal. That's the holiday in my house that we have really sort of claimed, and we're not doing it. We're just doing it local because of the situation, but it also gives you a chance to sort of adapt and to change. We're doing it smaller. We're involving our kids. We're going to probably do a week long celebration and like do different dishes every day kind of a deal. So there's an opportunity there, but also with that, the episodes that we are having next week, we have a couple that are not miss. And the first one is with Dr. Marcy Larson, who is her husband is Dr. Eric Larson, who has the Paradox podcast, and he was who introduced us to her. And it's a fantastic episode, particularly about grief. I learned a lot from that episode. Because grief is something that we're not normally taught and something that we don't normally talk about quite a bit. And particularly if you're a physician, it's something that we will encounter. If you haven't, you will. If you haven't signed a death certificate, you probably have. We will at some point in time. And if you haven't been in a situation where you're withdrawing life or making life or death decisions, I think everybody's done that. I mean, you I don't know how you can't get around it. So it was really good. And I wish I had had that information, you know, 15 years ago. So a great episode. And then we had Sarah and Colin Taylor, who are up in Canada. So another international episode. Mm-hmm. And they're up in Victoria, British Columbia, one of amazing places with fantastic water, as my daughter likes to say. It's in the top mm-hmm. five of all the best water that she's ever had. And they talk about their kind of journey, where Colin's a radiologist, and a little bit about the information when it comes to the Canadian healthcare system. That's another great one, just sort of like all these, is we're talking about the comparing and contrast these different healthcare systems to the United States. And there is some people, Canada's got to be the place to go. And there were some interesting points they brought about the Canadian healthcare system. And I'm not talking about coverage for the individuals. What I'm really talking about is systems to practice in. And that's another great episode. So two great episodes, interesting week. And I think I say that every time, but we have great episodes.
Yeah.
Episodes are good.
Yeah. And they're just, you know, Sarah and Colin are amazing couple, such a supportive set of physicians. And even Marcy and her husband, Eric, even though he's not in the episode this coming week, just a really supportive individuals as a couple have gotten through different changes. And we talk about the change physician, and boy, aren't they representative of that, not just as individuals, but also as couples. And so really glad to finally get those out there for everyone to listen to. And speaking of, you know, loss, you mentioned about Marcy Larson, you know, we're going through these COVID days, there's a lot of surges and peaks in various regions of the country. And we, you know, unfortunately, this is probably going to come to a percentage of us, as far as people we know, or we're going to encounter people that have lost somebody in light of COVID. So I definitely would listen to that episode in the event. Hopefully, we don't have to deal with that, but life throws us some tailspins at times. So just having a little insight to someone who's lost their own child is an incredibly powerful thing. So I personally am refused to go visit my parents 3.5 hours away. I just think for my own concerns for them, that this is the best thing at this point, especially with the fact that I still do clinical care and intubate patients. And so the turnaround time for me to really get tested and feel comfortable potentially exposing my parents just doesn't make a lot of sense. So for this point in time, I will stay low and lay low and keep things simple and enjoy the simple things. So for those of you out there, I'm Melissa Cady with my co-host, Dr. Kevin Caccaro. We are with the Change Physician Podcast and Community. And for those on the other crossposts and Challenge Doctor, if you've been listening, I appreciate your support. Feel free to jump on over, especially if you're a physician or a supporter of physicians and want to be part of the Change Physician community. You can go to thechangephysician.com. And until next Friday, you all have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, have a wonderful week anyway. Bye.
Hey, stay well, folks. How many people don't celebrate?
Thank you for joining us today on the Change Physician Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please let us know by going to thechangephysician.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the free book giveaways, guides, and other physician resources available to you simply by joining the community at thechangephysician.com.